All right. Good morning, everyone. I want to continue for our reading today that we've been going through. That I've been going through here in the book of Acts, chapter 16. This is now part three of interrupted plans, planned moments in the life of Paul. And the scripture focus today will be Acts chapter 16, verse 25, and I'll read that verse first, where it says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." But I want to read the whole chapter that we've gone through and then just summarize the chapter before just going through our main point this morning. And so, starting with all the way from verse 1. Where it says, "Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And they went on their way through the cities. They delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel there. To preach the gospel to them. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the woman who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' And she prevailed upon us. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune teller. She followed Paul and us, crying, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation.' And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And it came out at that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, 'These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice.' The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bounds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour out of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and his family. Then he brought them up into this house and stood and set foot before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. But when it was day, the magistrate sent the police, saying, "Let those men go." And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us publicly, uncondemned, men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And do they now throw us out secretly? No, let them come themselves and take us out." The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia, and when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. So quite a long chapter in terms of what is happening here, but just to summarize what we're going through here is this journey that Paul and his traveling companions are going through. And so we begin with the first few verses that this journey begins with Paul and Silas, that they arrive to this place and they encounter and they find a young man named Timothy. And so the journey starts off, you could say the journey starts off pretty well. That the Paul and Silas, they take Timothy along the way, and which is where our story of really begins of uninterrupted events. It says here that the first few churches that they visited, it says the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. So you could say things are off to a great start for Paul and Silas, that they've recruited Timothy, they've encouraged the churches, people are coming to know the Lord, and things are off to a great start. But then as we continue reading here, that Paul and his companions then attempt to enter new regions to share the gospel, but that's when they're forbidden by the Holy Spirit. In the midst of their plans coming to a halt, Paul receives a vision concerning where they're supposed to go next, that he sees a man in Macedonia asking for help. And so they take that as, okay, God's called us to go there. And so they make the incredible long journey by foot and boat and arrive to Macedonia. And they're on their way to prayer. They've arrived. They encounter a woman named Lydia, who the Lord opens her heart, that leads to the salvation of others in her home, and she offers them hospitality. And it was an incredible detour, but wow, a few people have come to know Christ, and they have been welcomed. So this journey, it started with just, it's up, everything is going good so far in terms of it. And once again, on their way to prayer, they have this interruption. Where it says this time that they're being harassed by a slave girl, who has a spirit of divination. And so Paul gets annoyed, Paul gets aggravated. He casts out the spirit out of this girl, and that just throws the town into an uproar. And it says that they were beaten and thrown into prison. And so now begin to see a decline of this journey in terms of events. I kind of started, like, the journey started up at a high, things are going good. They got interrupted, and then it kind of went well. They met Lydia hospitality, but now things are dropping again. Paul has this moment with the slave girl. She's free, but then people are upset at him, and so it says that they're beaten and their clothes is stripped off. And so things have now changed. Things have started to get bad after they've had gone great for a while. You could say that things have gone from bad to worse, which is now where we find ourselves in the story, and it's where I want to focus on now, is in that verse 25, where it says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." And so as I was reflecting on this passage and just that first verse of about midnight, the transition time from one day to the next, and I don't know if you guys have ever felt that some days feel like they're connected. Like if you've had one bad week, it feels like it's been all together, that bad day from yesterday just carried over into the next day. And so I'm reading this, and I'm wondering what Paul and Silas are thinking and feeling at this moment. And I think I always wish that the writers of scripture would allow us to enter more into the minds and feelings of some of the people in the Bible, because I think that's where we relate to the most. Because if you're looking at this situation, I wonder what they could be thinking and feeling. Maybe they're feeling confused. Maybe they're feeling anger, frustrated, hopeless, sad. I mean, thinking, God, we obeyed you. And this is where you led us. There could just be venting on God. Just be like, hey God, we gave everything up for you, and this is how you treat us. I remember when I lived in Kenya for a year, and I sold a lot of my belongings in order for me to get to Kenya. And then when I came back from Kenya, I arrived back to the States, and during the first week, I got into a car crash, and I crashed the car, and I didn't have insurance. And then I wasn't working at the time because I had just gotten back, and now I had this huge debt of a that I had to pay for my vehicle, and then the vehicle of someone else. And I remember in that moment of frustration, just saying, God, I gave up everything for you. This is almost like this is how you repay me, type of thing, of just being frustrated at that moment. And so I can imagine how Paul or Silas could be thinking. Like I said, their journey just started off great, where they're obeying God's calling upon their lives. The churches have been encouraged. They detoured from what they were going to do, and they've traveled so long to get to they detoured from where they were to get to Macedonia, and now they're in prison. So I can imagine if maybe there's a sense of frustration, or maybe they're taking everything in stride, you know? Maybe they're like, oh man, it's been tough, but hey, you know, let's trust God, let's continue to push forward. But again, we don't get insight into that type of conversation, and some of their questions or struggles that they might be having. So that's an unfortunate, but perhaps that is a good thing, because irregardless of what they are thinking and feeling, we know what they are doing. And perhaps what could be described as one of the worst days of their lives, I mean, I would describe it as probably one of the worst days of my life. If I've been beaten by rods, I've been by crowds, my clothes have been stripped, and now I'm in prison. In this dark prison, and my feet are bound, my feet, and I'm just at this place of just darkness. I would describe that as probably one of the worst days of my life. And so we don't know what they're thinking and feeling, but we do know what they are doing. And it says that Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to me. We're listening to them. And I find that just such a huge encouragement, that whatever we might be going through in our lives, whatever we might be thinking or feeling, irregardless of that, is what our response is. And I think that's my encouragement for myself, and that I hope that it's an encouragement to you as well, is that through the ups and downs of walking with God and our obedience to Him, which we are going to have our ups and downs, that in those moments where we may be having the worst days of our lives, that we keep praying and singing to God, irregardless of what we may be thinking or feeling. Not that our thinking and our feeling is not important, but our response at that moment does matter. That we wouldn't allow the ups and downs of life to still kill or destroy the life that we have with God. And there's so many other things from this passage that we can take away from, because one of the other things that in what could be described one of the worst days of their lives, it says that they're singing and singing hymns to God, and it says the prisoners were listening to them. And I think sometimes in the worst moments of our lives, we don't know who may be watching us and how we respond to those moments. And that's huge for that, because of what then happens is, and it's eventually God comes through in their lives, and it says that essentially an earthquake happens, and they're broken free. And for me, one of the most powerful verses here is verse 35. It says, "But when it was day, the magistrate sent the police, saying, 'Let those men go.'" And I think just sometimes we may be in the midnights of our lives, but I always like to think that it might be what encourages me in this passage as well, is that they were on what could be considered one of the worst days of their lives, and it's midnight, and now we see them that, hey, day has come, and they're walking in freedom. And there's this cheesy, I would call it a cheesy quote, but it says, "It's always darkest before the dawn." But I think this verse encourages me that in the midnight moments of our lives, let's continue praying and singing to God. Let nothing kill, steal, or destroy that, our life with God, and to remind ourselves that, hey, we might be in a midnight moment of our lives, but day is coming. And so be encouraged by that. And as we go into a time of worship, let's keep that in mind of let's continue to praise God. Let's continue to pray. Let's continue to sing to Him, knowing that day is coming soon as well. So let's go into a time of worship.
I call, you answered, and you came to my rescue. And I wanna be where you are. seek your face. Lord, all I am is yours. My whole life I place in your hands, God of mercy. I call you and serve, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are, and I call. You came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. My life be lifted high. Our love be lifted high. My life be lifted high. Our world be lifted high. And you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are, and I called you and served, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are.
Amen. Yeah, Father, just thank you for your presence in our lives. Yeah, Father, thank you for your work in us. That we have our moments when we're up high, but we also know that there are low moments as well. And so, Father, I just pray that we could be encouraged by the life of Paul and his traveling companions, that we would remember you in the midst of our low moments, in the midnight moments of our lives, where we have followed you, where we have said yes to you in obedience, and perhaps it didn't bring us where we thought it would bring us to, but in the midst of that we would just have our eyes on you and continue to pray, continue to sing to you. And so, Father, I thank you for your goodness over our lives, that we would not be discouraged in those midnight moments of our lives, and that we would be an encouragement to others as well, in our lives, and that we would remember that we wouldn't be so quick to forget those high moments of your faithfulness in our lives when we are low, that those moments would be moments that carry us through those midnight moments. And so, Father, I just pray that we would also just be encouraged by the day that is coming, that midnight was there, but also day was coming. And so, Father, I just pray that we won't lose sight, that we won't lose our hope in you, and just keep our eyes on you in these seasons of our life. So, Father, thank you for your word that lifts us up and encourages us to be more like you. And so, Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's go to our community prayer. Let's pray for those that are going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery during this season. Yeah, let's go to our next slide. And we pray for those that are sick and also in need of salvation. Go to our next slide. Let's pray for those that have infirmities and are in need of God's healing. Let's pray for healing all of their lives. To our next slide. Let's pray for those that are looking for new job opportunities in this season. pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for our missions council. Let's pray for SP fam. Pray for SP fam. Pray for the Friday night gatherings. Let's pray for pregnancies happening at SP. Pray. Yeah, Father, thank you for your word this morning. We just lift up all our prayer requests to you. Yeah, we just pray for our staff as well right now in terms of just the close contacts that we had, that you would just bring protection over each and every staff member and our families. We pray for our leadership team that is processing and making all these decisions, that you would be with them. Give them confidence and guidance as they make decisions. And so, Father, I just pray that, that you lead us and guide us throughout our day. Let us keep our eyes on you, and let us continue to pray and sing to you. So, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. Thank you for joining.